Brian. Beep, beep, boop, beep, boop.
I'm shocked your musical career did not work out.
Well, I'm an amazing singer.
I'm shocked.
I'm exactly like Michael McDonald.
Folks, if you really missed that impersonation, this is Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian.
Beep, boop, boop, beep, boop.
You're listening to us on Devil Radio.
I always devolve into some sort of robotic Swedish chef when I do the...
I was going to say, you sounded more like a Muppet, I think, than...
Yeah. That's the idea. I find he's a very furry person sometimes, at least most of his career. He seemed to have been a very shaggy guy.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I can see how you can look at him and go, wow, that's very Muppety.
Fair enough. But
although he doesn't... He's no Randy Newman for the Muppety. Randy Newman is a human personification of what a Muppet. And in fact, I think
of his own in that comparison.
I think when they did the latest Muppet movie when Jason Segel was in it,
mm-hmm.
and they made a person out of a Muppet. I'm pretty sure they looked at Randy Newman and were like, "That's what we were going for right there, and we want to make that into a person." Oh wait, that is a person. I didn't know that was a Muppet. That's amazing. That's crazy. All right. Anyway, Randy Newman's a Muppet.
This is really tangents.
I didn't know I was going to get there. I just started off with the Michael McDonald thing, and next thing you know, Randy Newman is a Muppet.
Yeah.
Welcome back to Dueling Tangents, everybody.
It happens.
That's what the show's all about.
You're listening to us on Devil Radio and The Shaw, and we're reading some long-form journalism over at The Atlantic, and if you want to take a look at the piece for yourself, go check out Dueling Tangents on Twitter. Shared the entire article over there on Twitter at Dueling Tangents.
I don't know why they don't, you know, my stuff doesn't go viral talking about Muppets. But anyway, let's continue on. We had a third dart to talk about.
Yes, finally, the third dart. By giving everyone a dart gun, social media deputizes everyone to administer justice with no due process. Platforms like Twitter devolve into the Wild West with no accountability for vigilantes. A successful attack attracts a barrage of likes and follow-on strikes. Enhanced vitriol platforms thereby facilitate massive collective punishment for small or imagined offenses with real-world consequences, including innocent people losing their jobs and being shamed into suicide.
Yeah, they posted links, by the way, to those things, so it's not just like...
Yes, so if you want the examples, it's not just hyperbole from this author. There are... both examples for the innocent people losing their jobs and being shamed into suicide.
Mm-hmm.
When our public square is governed by mob dynamics, unrestrained by due process, we don't get justice and inclusion. We get a society that ignores context, proportionality, mercy, and truth.
That's not good.
All four of those, I would say, would be pretty important to society.
At least a democratic society.
Yes. Which I believe we would all like to contend that we want to live in. But then diving further into the piece, we go into the section called Structural Stupidity. And the second paragraph here, Brian, really summed up a whole lot of why I thought this piece was so interesting and why I wanted to share it on the air with you today. The most reliable cure for confirmation bias is interaction with people who don't share your beliefs. They confront you with counter evidence and counter argument. John Stuart Mill said, quote, He who knows only his own side of the case knows little of that, and he urged us to seek out conflicting views, quote, from persons who actually believe them, end quote. People who think differently and are willing to speak up if they disagree with you make you smarter, almost as if they are extensions of your own brain. People who try to silence or intimidate their critics make themselves stupider, almost as if they are shooting darts into their own brain.
Yeah. And to follow that up, because I imagine a lot of our audience, when they're listening to this, are thinking, yeah, those right-wing sons of, oh my, they're all believing stupid, crazy stuff online. And, you know, if only that the left-leaning people were proving right and they just listened to our facts and figures and things, they'd totally understand. But it happens on the left too.
It does.
This is something I really want to get into, and I think especially if you're leaning leftwards, you should really, really listen into this part. All right. And this is further down on the piece. Again, this is why the past 10 years of American life have been uniquely stupid, and this is in The Atlantic. Democrats have also been hit hard by structural stupidity, though in a different way. In the Democratic Party, the struggle between the progressive wing and the more moderate factions is open and ongoing, and often the moderates win. The problem is that the left controls the commanding heights of the culture. universities, news organizations, Hollywood, art museums, advertising, much of Silicon Valley, and the teachers' unions and teaching colleges that shape K through 12 education. Now, if I list that to a bunch of left-leaning folks, they're all like, yeah, I love those things. And in many of those institutions, dissent has been stifled. When everyone was issued a dart gun in the early 2010s, many left-leaning institutions began shooting themselves in the brain. And unfortunately, those were the brains that inform, instruct, and entertain most of the country. Liberals in the late 20th century shared a belief that the sociologist Christian Smith called, quote, the liberal progress narrative, in which America used to be horrifically unjust and repressive, but thanks to the struggles and of activists and heroes, has made and continues to make progress towards realizing the noble promise of its founding. This story easily supports liberal patriotism, and it was the animating narrative of Barack Obama's presidency. It is also the view of the traditional liberals in the Hidden Tribe study, you know, the 11% of the population, who have strong humanitarian values, are older than average, and are largely the people leading America's cultural and intellectual institutions. Here's the important part. But when the newly viralized social media platforms gave everyone a dart gun, it was younger progressive activists that did most of the shooting. They aimed a disproportionate number of their darts at these older liberal leaders. Confused and fearful, the leaders rarely challenged the activists or their non-liberal narrative, in which life at every institution is a battle, eternal battle among identity groups over a zero-sum pie. And the people at the top got there by oppressing the people on the bottom. This new narrative is rigidly egalitarian, focused on equality of outcomes, not of rights or opportunities. It is unconcerned with individuals' rights. This universal charge against people who disagree with this narrative is not traitor. It's racist, transphobe, Karen, or some related scarlet letter marketing the perpetrator as one who hates or harms a marginalized group. The punishment that feels right for for such crimes is not execution. It is public shaming and social death. It's insane.
Yeah.
Because I liken it to when people talk about gang culture, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it used to, right now, there's a it's Wild West out there. The gangs are out there and they're shooting. There's more to it than this. I'm just making a quick narrative because we got to get through this. But gangs are out there and they're shooting each other. And right now, innocents are getting hurt. And in the old school, it used to be you hit someone because they deserved it, and that's the only reason why. Well, we started getting rid of the people who like taking the people out of that social group that led them. They went after the bosses, right? They took all the gang leaders out, the ones with the knowledge and experience of how to, you know, actually run the institution that they're doing there. And the result was there's no leadership anymore. So by basically shooting themselves in the head, getting caught and basically putting their older leaders out to pasture or silencing them and being or
publicly
quieted,
shaming, yeah.
Publicly shaming them. You're effectively removing any sort of knowledge or leadership that in favor of the younger kids that don't necessarily know how to not throw darts at people all the time. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think that it's to a certain degree. My belief of this one is when you're on the left, like individuals on the left that do things just for the performative nature of things, rather like on social media, rather than actually living the values that you are perpetrating and saying that you believe, is where a lot of this comes from too. Though when you throw, it's really easy to call somebody out on social media, and people on the left and right do this, but when you don't actually live the values that you're calling out somebody else for, and yeah. That's where I think a lot of the firing circle of on at least the left comes from, is when people who, as Bernie or as Buttigieg, as the candidate, said about Bernie, is saying putting out purity tests that you yourself cannot pass is what progressives really like to do on social media. And uh-huh. so it's something of that nature, but it's also calling out the hierarchical structures that are put in place. In some times, I totally believe that is necessary. In some institutions, that should be required, but I can understand where the author of this piece is saying that is a service to some of the causes that people are working on. In some cases, I can understand that.
Well, I mean, there are times when, like, you, myself, myself or Crudy could let's go to a university and have a speech. I could definitely be run out of there for saying the wrong thing to the wrong person because I have a coarse manner of speak. I grew up talking in a bar for 2 decades, man. Most of the time that I'm going, it's trying to filter out all the swears that I have and the non PC type of language that I use. And don't forget, I grew up out east where I actually heard people say, "Don't make fun of gay people. That's wicked gay." You know, things like that. Like, why would you, like, that makes no sense whatsoever, but it's a colloquialism. Everybody used it. That doesn't mean that I should use it, and I don't use it anymore, only for this context, is the idea that...
It's out there.
It's out there. So my point is that even someone who's actually advocating for causes that they are for could easily very much cancel me. And it's a problem. But here's a specific example, and then we're going to get into solutions to the next thing. But yeah. I have a paragraph and a half here. Tragically, because this is a specific example, especially in the last year. Tragically, we see this stupefaction playing out on both sides in the COVID wars. The right has been so committed to minimizing the risks of COVID that it has turned the disease into one that preferentially kills Republicans. That's statistically proven. The progressive left is so committed to maximizing the dangers of COVID that it often embraces an equally maximalist, one-size-fits-all strategy for vaccines, masks, and social distancing, even as they pertain to children. Such policies are not as deadly as spreading fears and lies about vaccines, but many of them have been devastating for the mental health and education of children who desperately need to play with one another to go to school. We have little clear evidence that school closures and masks for young children reduce deaths from COVID. Most notably for the story I'm telling here, progressive parents who argued against school closures were frequently savaged on social media and met with ubiquitous leftist accusations of racism and white supremacy. Others in blue cities learned to keep quiet. I wanted the schools to stay open because I can't stay home with my kid because both of us worked the entire pandemic. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. But that made no sense to me to close down schools. But again, if I said that out loud at the time, do you know how much crap I would have gotten? So I just said, let's open schools. Finally here, American politics is getting ever more ridiculous and dysfunctional, not because Americans are getting less intelligent. The problem is structural. Thanks to enhanced virality of social media, dissent is punished within many of our institutions, which means that bad ideas get elevated to official policy. We've seen that actually happen on the right here. It's happening right in front of our eyes. It's happening now.
Yeah, having a policy come out of some very, very bad beliefs of lies being accepted that the election was stolen, and then funding a office of the special counsel to go and investigate these lies gets you to the point where you don't know where to call this to an end because it's still going on and there's no widespread voter fraud here in the state of Wisconsin, but bad ideas became policy in the Republican Party in trying to justify those lies being told in 2020, and here we are in 2022 still having to hear about it.
And again, this fracturing of our own social structures also was exacerbated too by the pandemic because everybody's separated and then
everybody's online
and everybody started looking at their own mirror reflection in the fracture that was the Tower of Babel. That was a mirror that was a reflection of all of us.
There's some metaphor on top of metaphors there.
Either way, the important thing is that Randy Newman is a Muppet. And we all know that he's a Muppet.
The important thing is, this is Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. That's Brian. I'm Luke. We got one more segment left in the day. Hopefully, we're going to get to some solutions here. Taking your calls, 844-967-2789. We're going to be right back.